And now, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Again, I'm grateful to the choir for singing a song about prayer. We're entering into a new series today on prayer. We'll be talking about prayer. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been trying to be more intentional to have prayer in our services because Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. We always pray, but we want to be more intentional about praying during the service and even at the close of service. So we ask the Lord to be the one who does bear our burdens, that we take everything to God in prayer. Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, I'll read through verse 3 and then I will pray. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. And the Bible reads, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." Strong Tower, with your prayers and with the help of the Holy Spirit, let's talk today on the subject, pray, Daniel, pray. Pray, Daniel, pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity today to come into your presence, to open up your word in your house with your people who have been worshiping your Son through the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that we have you and we need you. Continue to teach us because we want to be disciples who make a difference. We are pressing towards the mark of the upward prize and call that is in Christ. We're not satisfied with where we are. We thank God we're not where we used to be, but God, your Spirit compels us to grow. And we can't grow without the seed of the Word of God. So God, we prepare our hearts, we confess our sins, and we ask you, Lord, that your word, the seed of the word, will find good soil this morning. Deal with us, encourage us, comfort us, convict us, convince us, strengthen us. We love you, God. Your word is amazing because you are amazing. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray. Daniel, pray. And I want you to insert your name in that. Pray, pray. So pray, Sister Dorena, pray. Pray, Brother Dante and Sister Aaron, pray. Pray, Miss Vi, who's watching at home as she's continuing to fight this illness that's trying to rid her of her health. Keep fighting, Miss Vi. Pray, Miss Vi, pray. She's doing good. She's going to be here soon. So we're going to keep her in our prayer. Also, pray, Heather, pray. As she had surgery this past week. Pray, Heather, pray. Don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. Also, pray, Jermaine, pray. As he had to go back to New York to bury his grandmother. Pray. Patrick, pray, as one of our men had to go and bury his father this past weekend. We all need to keep praying. Next week, we're going to talk about how Jesus said that people ought always to pray and not faint and not give up. But you keep on praying because that's one of the most powerful things you can ever do is to talk to God in the name of Jesus. Well, I am one of those kinds of people that I like good commercials. I like good commercials. And even during the Super Bowl, when they have all the new commercials come out, I'm one of those kind of people that like to grade the commercials. Well, one of my favorite commercials is the Snickers commercial when the late Betty White is playing football with the dudes and she gets tackled. Like, I love that commercial. Can I get a witness? Anybody else like that commercial? I think that's great. And another one is from Nationwide. They will put these kind of commercials together And they'll say, when life comes at you fast. And it will talk about, you know, you were doing well and then something happened. Your car ran into a house or this and that went on. It's real peculiar stuff in the commercial. But the idea is when life comes at you fast, Nationwide is on your side. Well, I was on the phone this week with a gentleman, and he was having a good time. He had had a long week, and he was feeling the joy of the Lord, talking to me on the phone. And while talking to me, telling me how excited he was, got through that tough week, and was so joyful, he saw some blue lights behind him. And his joy immediately turned to sorrow. And I heard it all in his voice because he was going fast and life came at him fast in the form of a $100 ticket. Life can change up on you real quick. And when life comes at us fast, what should we do? What should we do? Well, James, the Lord's brother, tells us this in James 5:13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. James 5:13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. But so often, instead of praying, let him complain. Is any of you in trouble? Let him doubt. Let him be fearful. Or let her whine. If any of you are in trouble, let me call somebody and gossip. If any of you are in trouble, man, give up, fuss, cuss, do any and everything but pray. But James tells us if you're in trouble, if and when life comes at you fast, pray. Now, that shouldn't be the only time we pray. But if you're not praying when stuff is coming at you fast, you are really far from God because God may be using that stuff to bring you closer to him anyway. Can I get an amen? The same thing happened to Daniel in this passage today. Life came at the prophet fast. Life came at him fast. If I go back to verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. And he goes on to say, its message was true and it concerned a great war. Well, Pastor, why are you saying that life came fast at the aged prophet Daniel? Well, when it says here that in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that is a way of letting him date what was happening. We look at it and we see what he was talking about was 536 BC. That's the third year of King Cyrus, 536. Well, what happened in 536? Well, the Jews had been in captivity to Babylon for 70 years. And in 536, it was the first year that the Jews began going back to Jerusalem after having been in captivity in Babylon. So therefore, coming out of captivity, according to the prophecy that Jeremiah the prophet gave, that Israel would be in captivity for 70 years, Daniel read that, saw that, was encouraged. Then a decree went out from the Persian king to let the Jews go. And they started going back. And the first thing they did when they went back was to build or rebuild the temple of God. Not Solomon's temple, that was destroyed in 586 BC. But this new temple, which will be called Zerubbabel's temple, they began building that. So when the exiles went back, that was cause for hope. We're no longer in bondage. We have been liberated to go back home to our homeland. That's good news. Because Daniel came into captivity under Babylon as a teenager. So he endured the 70 years of captivity. So when we come to him in chapter 10, he's an old man, possibly 85 or older. He's endured four different kings, Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belteshazzar, or I can't remember that dude's name, it's funny. But anyway, then there's two Persian kings. So he's seeing all of this play out, but he also sees God show up in history and say, now it's time to let my people go. He's excited. But his excitement turns to sorrow because the revelation that comes to him in verse 1 says, the message is true, but it's also concerning a great war. We just got free yesterday. Now we're going to go in war tomorrow? It's like the Canton Spirituals, one of my favorite groups, old school gospel group. The singer says, every time I got a nickel, I had to spend a dime. Y'all don't understand that. That's old school country. That every time I got a nickel, I had to spend a dime. Soon as something goes right in my life, something bad seems to happen. I mean, life can come at you fast. We just got out of captivity, and now we're being told that a great war is coming. And so Daniel now has tremendous grief, because in verse 16, he says, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. And he says, I am helpless. So life is coming at him. So what is Daniel going to do? Daniel is going to pray. Daniel is going to pray. And therefore, Daniel teaches us what to do when life changes, when things flip on us. We pray. So in today's message, Daniel is going to teach us at least four things about prayer. Life came at him, flipped things. Rather than fussing, cussing, complaining, whining, crying, he says, I'm going to pray. So if you hear nothing else today, when you get pulled over, pray. Because we ought to pray without ceasing. That means just having God on our mind, talking to him, depending on him. Pray, pray, pray. So the first thing I want to point out to you is that prayer requires endurance. And this is why a lot of us don't pray. You ever notice that when it's time to pray, you get sleepy? You ever notice when it's time to pray, there's something else to do? You get distracted. When Jesus went into the garden to pray, he took three of his tightest guys with him, and they kept falling asleep on him. And he said, the spirit is willing, but this old flesh is weak. And Paul is going to say, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Your spirit wants to pray, but your flesh don't want to go into the presence of God. But that's why we got to crucify flesh and go ahead anyhow and do what God says. And something happens to us in the presence of God. But prayer requires endurance. Look at verse 2. So after he gets the vision about a great war, and he's discouraged. Verse 2, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Now, for Jewish people, the mourning is speaking of coming before God. You're praying, you're pouring out your heart to God. You've heard news that's causing you to mourn. But with the mourning, there is prayer. He says, I mourned for 3 weeks. That is 21 days. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Endurance. He mourned and he prayed for 21 days. But not only that, he mourned, he prayed, and he fasted 21 days. We see him fasting as a teenager back in chapter 1 when he said, I don't want to eat the king's meats that's been sacrificed to idols. Just give us vegetables and we'll come out 10 times better. And that's where the Daniel fast comes from. So this man is not afraid to turn a plate over in order to amplify his voice in heaven, because that's what fasting is. Fasting is denying yourself a natural craving in order to grow in the spiritual. It is turning over a plate that you may turn your voice towards God. And you're showing God how serious this is, that you are denying natural cravings in order to grow in the spirit and make your petitions known. Because when we fast, that shows that we're serious about whatever we're petitioning God for. So he is serious about this thing, and he is fasting before the Lord for 21 days. That takes great endurance and consistency. And if I had time, Nehemiah, when he heard the news about the children of Israel, because they went back in three different deportations out of Persia because the Persians defeated the Babylonians. So the Persians let the Jews go back. And under Nehemiah, they came back to put the wall up. And so Nehemiah, the Bible says in Nehemiah 1, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So let me ask you, what is it that will cause you to mourn and a mourning that will lead to prayer? What is it that you can hear about a person or a people or a situation that will cause you to say, not only am I going to pray, not only is this going to cause me to lament, but I'm willing to fast over something. Oh, my goodness. Nehemiah's heart was broken. Daniel's heart was broken to the point of fasting, mourning, and praying for an extended period of time. Daniel had a reputation of being a man of prayer. In chapter 6, when they threatened to throw him into the lion's den, they actually did it. But the reason why they put him in was because he had a prayer life. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, that is, anyone who prays to anyone other than Nebuchadnezzar is going to be thrown into the lion's den. What did he do? Fall in with policy with the government? No, he continued to walk as a believer of Yahweh. And the Bible says he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Man of prayer. He just didn't pray when he was in trouble. He prayed as a custom in his life. Isn't that what you want? To be known as a woman, a man of prayer? That when people say, I want to find you, where are you? We can find you praying because you have a spot where you go, where you like to meet with God in your house, in your car, in your backyard, wherever. He was a man of prayer. And people who pray consistently are people who express that they are willing to endure and say no to the flesh and say yes to the things of God. Prayer, prayer, enduring. 21 days, 3 weeks, Daniel prayed. Well, on Monday, August 19th, we want to put some of this stuff into practice here. So what we're going to do at the church is that we're going to begin 21 days of prayer at the church, beginning on Monday, August 19th, and it's going to go all the way to Sunday, September 8th, which is our 29th anniversary. And Brother Marlon Turner is our speaker that morning. Marlon, would you raise your hand, brother? That's our speaker for the morning of our 29th anniversary. Y'all pray for Marlon, all right, that God would speak through him to all of us on that day when we're wearing all of our new T-shirts and stuff, but 21 days. And I've also asked 21 people from the church to submit devotions that we can send out to you every day during the 21 days, written by your own people with a prayer focus so that the church can together be praying, having a central prayer as a body. Oh boy, you better watch out. God is going to do a whole bunch of stuff. We have not because we ask not if my people humble, call by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my, oh Lord, Lord, it's going to be awesome. But as also expect some resistance, which is what I'm about to point out to you in a minute. That's why you need endurance in prayer, because the devil don't want you to pray. But let me jump real quick back into the text in verse 4, Daniel 10, verse 4. So on the 24th day in the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. So he starts praying, and God gives him a vision of a man, which really is an angel, because angels would take the appearance of men. And this angel, if we look at other portions of Daniel, is more than likely the angel Gabriel, because Gabriel appears to Daniel in chapter 8 and in chapter 9. Gabriel is the one who appeared to Mary and Elizabeth and spoke with Joseph. Gabriel. So Gabriel appears to Daniel, which now goes into this next point, that prayer is hearing from God. Look at verse 9. He says, "Then I heard him speaking, and I listened to him. I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. And a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." What's the point? Prayer is hearing from God. So when we go into prayer, a lot of times we just want to jump in and start talking. But we also need to be still and know that God is God, Psalm 46:10, and listen, because prayer is a dialogue, not simply a monologue from us to God. Because as we talk to God, God has something to say to us. So we listen. Sometimes we get into God's presence and we just be still and we be silent. And then God will begin to speak to us through his word. He's not speaking to us today through angels per se. He's speaking to us through his written word by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when somebody said, "God has spoken to me," we're to test the spirits, because I want to make sure, does it sound like this book right here? Or does it sound like something you just made up and you put God's name on it? But anyway, God is going to speak to you in prayer. And who's speaking to Daniel right here? Gabriel is. He said, "I have something to say to you, because I've come from the throne room of God." And Daniel said, "I heard him speaking. I listened to him." And Gabriel says, "I'm about to speak." And he said this to Daniel. So what is prayer? It's God speaking to us. Sometimes you can get in prayer and just be still in God's presence, and he'll start filling your heart with things you didn't even know. If you listen, if you be still and not just get in there with a grocery list telling God what you need and what you want him to do. Yeah, that's important. But yeah, I got to listen. Now, here's the deal. A lot of us, when we're going through stuff and we're trying to figure out what is the will of God for my life, we'll go and ask people for advice. That's not bad, because there's safety in a multitude of counsel. Just be careful who you're getting counsel from. Psalm 1 talks about us not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. So we'll go out and get counsel. But what I've learned, maybe it's just me, I'll ask everybody else what they think before I go and talk to God about what he thinks. That's what we'd rather do. We don't have the faith or the discipline, the endurance, number one, to sit in God's presence and ask him. One of the names of Jesus is Wonderful what? So if I need counsel, I need to go to him. But we spend so much time talking to everybody but God when we're trying to figure out what God has for us next. And so I'm thankful that Daniel sat there and he listened to the angel speak to him about the will of God. But another point about prayer is that prayer is God hearing you. Oh, I can't wait to preach this. It's hearing you, not just hearing from you, but prayer is God hearing you, because some of us don't believe God hears us. Some of us think that God has forgotten us, especially when life comes at us fast. And we're wondering, where is God? What is God up to? Well, God, where are you? You haven't heard my petition. Let's put that to rest right now. Verse 12 of Daniel chapter 10. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid." This is Gabriel speaking to Daniel. "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were what? Heard, and I have come in response to them." So the very first day out of this 21 days that you started praying, God heard you on the first day. So when you pray, when I pray, God hears us. We may not think he hears us because we don't get what we ask for just like that. Well, God's not a genie in a bottle. Sometimes he allows us to wait because the thing we thought was so important really in time proved to be not that important because we're not talking to him about it. But if it's really important, we're going to keep talking to him about it. It's like having kids and your kids, give me this, give me that, give me this. And if you're a good parent, you're not going to give them everything they ask for because you don't need to spoil your kids. You need to say, you don't need that right now. Mm-mm, you already got one of those. Mm-mm, I'm not going to spoil you. I'm going to take care of you because you're going to think that life is you get whatever you want whenever you want because you asked for it. And God is not raising spoiled spiritual children because everything we ask for ain't good for us. So God is like, let me let you go through this to let you know that that dude you were asking me for really ain't good for you. Anyway, let me keep, bro, I got to keep going. I can't hang there too long. He hears you. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, man, I love this. Verses 14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Confidence, y'all. I have many Catholic friends, but you know what? I don't need a Catholic priest for me to get to God. God made me a royal priest. I can get to God without a person. I like when people pray with me and pray for me, but I can go to God by myself in the name of Jesus because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple separating God from man was torn from top to bottom, giving all of us free access to the Holy of Holies. And so when I go to God, I ought to have confidence. Why? Because I'm a son. I've been adopted. I've been placed into the family of God. He knows my name. I don't have to come in like a slave. I can come in like a son. You can come in like a daughter. That's your father. And the Spirit of God allows you to call him Papa, Abba. I'm going in boldly with confidence to my daddy. Watch this now, that if we ask anything according to his will. Yeah, some of the stuff ain't according to his will. He hears us. He hears us. How do I know his will? In his word. When I pray, it ought to sound like the word of God. When I pray, it ought to be in alignment with the word of God. That's his will. So when I pray his will, not only does he hear me, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. It just may not come when we want, but he heard us and he's going to give us what we're asking for. My God. So we got to have that kind of confidence that God hears us. The angel said to Daniel, the very first day you started praying, I heard you. No, more than that, God heard you. God heard you. So strong tower, God hears you when you pray. When you cry out, he hears you. When my son was a newborn, Doreen and I, our first child, you know, when you get your first child, you know, you just over the top on everything. If the pacifier falls down on the ground, you pick it up, sterilize it, boil it before you give it back to the baby. By the time we got to Karis number 4, that pacifier could drop in all kind of. But anyway, you know, new parents. And we put him in his own room. Because we wanted, again, you're important, son, but you're not going to come between mom and dad. We're going to set that up now. So we put in his room a monitor. Now, back in the day, you know, a little battery operated. Sometimes you plug it in the wall. A thing, it's like a walkie-talkie that would sit in the room. So you could hear what was going on with the baby while you were in your room sleeping or whatever. And today they put telephones in there and things you could see. But back then all we could do was hear. And if he moved, you could hear. But we didn't get up. If he cooed a little bit, we didn't get up. If he started crying a little bit, we didn't get up. But there's a cry that a baby can cry that will make a parent get up when another cry won't make a parent get up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like he crying. Let him cry it out. But then when it's one of them blood-curdling from the toes kind of cry, oh, we got to get up and go see about him. He hungry. He need to, he's wet, whatever. But so God hears our cry. And you're like, oh, man, did he really hear me? Yeah, he heard me. That's why it's okay to cry out to God. God, I need you. And watch the Father come running. Oh, my goodness. Well, finally, y'all, prayer is spiritual warfare. Look at verse 13. So Gabriel says, God heard your words when you prayed, and he sent me in response. Verse 13, but this is spiritual warfare. Hang with me. Spiritual warfare. God heard you on the first day of the 21 days you were praying. He sent me in response to your prayer, but. What's the but right there, Gabriel? The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Warfare. It's too deep. Maybe come out on Bible study. We can touch on it a little bit. But just as when people are born as babies, the Bible says children have their own angels when they're born. The Bible even says for people who fear God, the angel of the Lord encamps around them. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation that there were angels assigned to the various churches of Ephesus and Laodicea, to the angel of the church. So angels are with us. They're with people when they're born. They're with believers watching over us. They're over churches. And also there are angels over nations. And if there are angels over nations and cities and provinces, there are also demons over nations, cities, and provinces. Spiritual warfare. So when it talks about the king and the prince of Persia resisting Gabriel, a good angel, that's a demon or the devil himself fighting against Gabriel to keep Gabriel from getting to the man of God. There's a fight in heavenly places. As Daniel prayed to God, God heard you, sent me, but the king of the prince of Persia, the prince of Persia, the devil resisted me. Now watch this, y'all. There are only three angels named in scripture, even though there are myriads of angels. Three angels: Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, the morning star. Star is another name for angel. Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High, got kicked out of heaven, went down to earth. According to the book of Revelation chapter 12, when he fell, he took with him a third of the angels. So a third of the angels are under Lucifer, i.e. Satan's control. Those angels have become demons. These other two angels, Gabriel and Michael, oversee now a third of the angels apiece. So God's kingdom in heaven was divided up into thirds as far as the angels. One third fell. They became demons. These other two brothers are leading the other angels. We see some of that in this text. Can I go back and hit it real quick? It says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Why did the devil want to stop Gabriel from getting the word to Daniel? Because the devil did not want Daniel to have hope from the word that was coming from God. You see, the first message he got was about a great war. But when Gabriel comes, he's going to say something that's recorded in chapter 12 about how God is going to set up his kingdom on earth. So in other words, war is not going to be the only thing on your mind as it pertains to your walk with God. There is victory also on the other end. And the enemy did not want Daniel to know there was victory for the people of Israel. So he said, let me intercept him. Let me stop him because I want Daniel, the prophet, the old man, to be discouraged. I want him to stay in being weak and struggling. So he's fighting. He doesn't want good news to get to Daniel. And so because of this conflict, Gabriel said he was my equal as far as the king of Persia, Satan. And so therefore I was detained. But thank God Michael came, the other angel who's named. And he came and we double teamed that devil long enough for me to get up and come to you and give you the word of revelation that is just not a war, but you can expect some victory, chapter 12, for the people of Israel. Warfare. So when you're going through, when I'm going through, the devil does not want you to know about your victory. He wants you to remain discouraged. He wants you to remain hopeless. He wants you to remain down. But if you can hang on in there, recognizing that this is spiritual warfare, and I'm not really wrestling with people. I'm wrestling with principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But I'm wrestling as someone who is a conqueror, who is a winner, not someone who's trying to win. So when I acknowledge that because Jesus got up, I'm getting up. And that death has lost its sting and nothing can defeat me because God is for me. When I start thinking like that, it changes everything. But Daniel didn't have the revelation of Jesus that we have today. But the point is, the devil still tries to run interference, make things fuzzy, make you discouraged, make you want to give up. But Daniel, back to the point of endurance, he kept praying for 21 days. But God heard him on the first day. God heard you, but don't stop praying. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and the door will be opened. It's in the present tense, which means keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. Some of us think, I knock one time, I ain't hear from God. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Don't give up in prayer. Spiritual warfare. Oh, man. He don't want you to see the end. One of the hardest things I've ever done was go back to school and get my doctor's degree. Hard. Hardest thing I've ever done. I don't want to discourage you, those of you who want to go to that, but get ready. They're going to skin you. Their purpose is to break you in order to make you. Oh, it was the hardest thing. And the church was going through the hardest season I've ever experienced as the pastor during that whole time. So I'm in the hardest thing I've ever done in the hardest season. I thought about quitting a couple of times, but I couldn't because too much money had been put into this thing. And I'm struggling. And you know, with every race, the closer you get to the finish line, the more tired you are. So that last leg of the doctor, when you got to give your project and your final writing and all this stuff, man, your boy is struggling. And I'm dealing with devils. I mean, people in the church. Oh, God. But here's what helped the brother. I started envisioning myself sitting on the lawn in my cap and gown on graduation day. When I was doing all that writing, doing all this damage control, I'm struggling. But I said, let me look to the end. Let me go to the end game. I'm going to be sitting on that lawn. I don't care if it's raining out that bad boy. I'm going to be sitting out there with my legs crossed, ready to get my degree when they call my name. That helped me get going. Because I thought about the end. Yeah. So when you're in the midst of spiritual warfare and it don't seem like you're going to make it, think about the end. Yeah. How you are victorious. You know, Jesus got through the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, he endured the cross because of the joy on the other side. Yeah. Trouble don't last always. So keep on praying. Don't give up. Think about the victory that you will be clothed in a new gown in heaven. Think about the victory that your Lord will say, well done. Think about the victory that this too shall pass when you're going in spiritual warfare because the enemy wants you to give up. But God keeps saying, man, look up and trust me, I'm coming through. So Daniel in this passage teaches us four things about prayer. Prayer requires endurance. Prayer is hearing from God. Prayer is God hearing you. And prayer is spiritual warfare. But can I tell you something before I let you go? The Bible says that Daniel had this encounter with Gabriel in the first month. See, this is why we need to take pride in the fact that every word of God is inspired. So if I go back to verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month. This is when he ran into Gabriel, that this angel came. And the angel has so much glory on him that Daniel can't even stand up. Same thing kind of happens to John in the book of Revelation when the angel is taking him around. The angel got so much glory on him that John says, let me fall down and worship the angel. And the angel's like, don't worship me, worship God. Here's the point. When you hang out in the presence of God, you're going to shine like God. Not exactly like him because he is the light. But when you get close to the light, some light going to rub off. These angels who are ministers of light, they got glory on them because they're in the presence of the glorious one. That's why we shine whenever we leave church. because we've been in God's presence. You ever come into church just busted and disgusted, and then you leave out dancing and skipping? Why? You've been in the presence of God. There's a shine on you when you worship God at home. There's a shine on you. When we look to him, our faces are radiant. So when we look at this passage here, what is the first month for the Jews? The first month is Nisan. Nisan was developed when the Jews got out of Egyptian bondage, when God set them free by the blood of the lamb that was on the doorposts. And they were able to get out and be liberated after 400 years of enslavement to Egypt. And so not only were they liberated, but they were going to a new place, a promised land. So when you see Nisan as a Jewish person, you're thinking about not only liberation and redemption by the blood, you're thinking about a new beginning, a new year. Pastor, what is the significance of all that, man? It means that whenever you pray, it's a new beginning. Whenever you pray, you're reminded that the Redeemer has set you free. Whenever you pray, you realize that God has liberated you and set you free, because a lot of prayer is the mindset of knowing who you are and what God has done, as opposed to coming in always struggling and growing. Wait a minute. When I come and talk to God, I've been redeemed. I have a new beginning. I am a new person. And so part of praying is recognizing that. But it don't stop there. Because in verse 4, I'm about to take my seat on the 24th day of the first month. First month, Nisan, new beginning, redemption, blood, a promised land, all that stuff. So that's when Gabriel showed up. But it was also the third day. That's what the Bible says. Pastor, what's the significance of the third day? Let me drop this. I wasn't good at math, so excuse me if I mess up. How many days was he praying? 21. What day did Gabriel show up? The 24th. If you subtract 21 from 24, you get 3. So what day did he begin praying? The third day. The text says on the 24th day, Gabriel showed up after he had been praying for 21 days. So 21 from 24 is 3. He starts praying on the third day. Pastor, what's the significance of the third day? Oh boy, when you read the Bible, on the third day, Abraham went to slay Isaac out of obedience to God, but he looked up and saw a ram in the bush. The third day speaks of provision, Jehovah Jireh. On the third day, God came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to the people of God. On the third day, Esther went into the king in order to save her people, the Jews. On the third day, Jesus said he would rise again from the grave. And on the third day, Peter said, yeah, it happened in Acts chapter 10. He got up on the third day. What's the point about the third day? Third day speaks of resurrection. Third day speaks of new life. Third day speaks of power. So when you go pray, you combine, it's a new beginning. I've been redeemed by the blood. He got up. He's alive. My goodness, when you start thinking like that, you got the victory. I know that's how I'm trying to live my life. Every time you pray, it's Nisan. Every time you pray, it's the third day. Every time. But as you stand to your feet, I want to pray for anybody right now as we close the service. Life has come at you fast. And the Bible says, if anyone is in trouble, let him pray. So if anyone needs prayer as I close this service out, because life has come at you fast and you need God, come meet me at the altar right here. Come on. Come on down. Come meet me here. Life has come at you. Come on, let's pray. Is anyone in trouble? Let's pray. Life has come at you. Come on, come on, come on. We're not ashamed to humble ourselves before God. He'll lift you up. Church is praying with you. Come on, y'all. This is a house of prayer, remember? There's no condemnation up in here. If anyone's in trouble, let him pray. Anyone in trouble? You got a court date? You lost a job? Something's going on in a relationship? Something happening in your body? Things were great, and then all of a sudden, boom, come on. Let's pray, man. What else you gonna do? Who else can you turn to? We're gonna talk to the Creator, the one who does miracles, the one who raises the dead, who can turn a situation around, that you might give him the glory. Yeah. Strong Tower, we're getting used to this. I thank God for the time Pastor Jewel took today to bless and pray over Sister Eileen. It's what we do. Let's take a moment as Mike plays softly, and let's be still before the Lord. Those of you who have not come, those of you who are here, take a moment and tell God what's troubling your heart. Father, there's nothing we can tell you that you don't already know. You know everything. But you want us to talk to you because you want to be intimate with us. You want us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. You don't want us to be anxious about these things that we hold, myself included. But you want us to give these things to you in prayer and in thanksgiving, to make these requests known to you. And you said you would give us your peace that will surpass our understanding. God is too big for us. It's too much for us. And it's a reminder that we need you. So whatever we're going through right now, it's a good thing because it's bringing us to you. God, would you take this stuff? Would you give us your joy and your peace in exchange for our sorrow and our stress? God, would you take this stuff? We put it in your hands. We don't want to try to fix it anymore because we can't, and we keep making it worse. God, help us. Like Peter walking on the water, we had our eyes on you for a minute and we were doing good, and then came at us fast and we took our eyes off of you and we sank. I thank you that Peter had enough sense to cry out and ask you to save him before he hit rock bottom. God, don't let anybody at this altar, anybody at this church hit rock bottom. I know it's been said you're the rock at the bottom, but Lord, keep your people from drowning. Keep your people, Lord God, from a kind of discouragement that makes them want to quit and give up, hurt themselves or hurt other people. God, I pray that you would deliver us from the evil one. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your house is a house of prayer, that we can call out to you about anything that we're going through. Lord, help in this family situation. Lord, help in our finances. Lord, help us with our bodies and what we're going through. Help us in our relationships. Help us, God, on the job. Help us, God, with whatever we're dealing with. Help us, God. Give us wisdom. You're the wonderful counselor. Show us what to do because we don't know what to do. Forgive us, Lord God. Try to take these things in our own hands. And like Daniel, we're willing to keep on praying. Not just today, not just on Sunday, but we're willing, Lord, to seek your face. We're willing, God, to open up your word and let the Spirit speak to our heart. God, we're serious. If it takes fasting to see a yoke broken, if it takes turning off the television, putting down the phone, turning a plate over, missing a meal, whatever it is, God, we're willing, we're willing, we're willing, we're willing. Do a work in us, Holy Spirit. We want what you want because you're working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We want to live victorious. We want to have victory because that's what you have ordained for us. Do it in your folks, Lord, and it starts with prayer. Thank you, God, that your son Jesus even prayed for strength. So God, we're asking for strength. You sent an angel to give Jesus strength. You sent an angel to give Daniel strength. Father, send an angel to give your people strength. And Lord, let some of those angels not only be celestial, but may they be people who act like angels, who can bless folks and encourage people. And let the people who are praying for a blessing also turn around and be a blessing to someone else, because a lot of time our deliverance is found in us helping somebody else out. Yeah, we got it tough, but somebody else got it tough too.
So may we not be self-centered as we bring these requests to you, but help us be mindful of people around us who are hurting. And Lord, we may not know a whole lot of scripture. We may not know a lot of word, but Lord, we can say, I can pray for you. God, help my friend, help my father, help my mother, help my husband, help my wife, help my boss, help my pastor. Lord, we can say that. And you hear us. Like a good father, you hear us. And like a good father, you know when to come to us, you're always on time. You're a good God. There's none like you. Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do and the praise reports that will come. Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. Lord, I can't wait to see how you're going to be glorified in such a dark situation. I can't wait to see the miracles you're going to do. Thank you, God. There's none like you. There's none beside you. There's none over you. You're the Most High. We worship you. Praying now unto him. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's according to the power. Lord, may the power of the Holy Spirit work in us individually, work in us corporately, work in our home. It's according to the power that's working. Work, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. I dare you to give God a hand praise. I dare you to clap your hands. Act like the devil had in between your hands. You can't have my family. You can't have my children. You can't have my money. You can't have my family. The victory is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Now go ahead and hug a couple folks. He can do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God, would you do it? I'm going to give you the praise. God, do it, God. One of my singers, come on now.
Go in peace, beloved. Go in peace and enjoy the beauty of Jesus. Love on each other. Pray for each other. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day.